All right, the Kansas City Chiefs reworked Sammy Watkins' deal. Opened up some cap space, kept him on the team. They're still paying him a pretty good salary for what he did in the regular season. His new deal has a maximum value of $16 million. I believe it was $21 million prior to this, but it includes $7 million in incentives and contains a no-trade clause. So those are the reasons that I guess he is willing to do it. It's like, hey, I get to be on the Chiefs. You can't trade me. I'm going to be on this team. I get to run it back. The move creates $5 million in salary cap space for the Chiefs. Some of the thought process coming out of Kansas City as well, when you look at what Kansas City is returning, Kansas City is going in with a certain idea of let's keep the squad together. The Chiefs offense, that was, you know, best in the NFL last year when it had to be. Might not score more points than Baltimore in the regular season, but in the playoffs when it was time to be the best offense, the Chiefs had the best offense. Cody, they are now returning 10 of their 11 starters. Five of their top six leading rushers, eight of their top nine receivers, six of their top seven offensive linemen in terms of snap numbers, their offensive coordinator, and Andy Reid.
Who are they not returning on offense?
I'm sure there's lineman there. There has to be a lineman.
Is it the good lineman?
All four.
He's getting old, isn't he?
Who?
What is it, Schwartz or something?
I don't know.
71.
Cam, see if you can find the one guy that's going to be gone.
Is it Mitchell Schwartz?
10 of 11 starters. I mean, I know Mahomes is there. They have all four of their receivers back. Kelsey's there. Running backs are still there. So I'm assuming it's just leaving.
He's 30. He's still there.
I'm assuming it's just leaving an offensive lineman there. I'm assuming. But they are going with the route of let's just run it back. No time to really bring in new pieces to learn the system because, you know, OTAs are going to be limited this year. Time to gel with new team and new players going to be limited. You've seen the Titans kind of go with that same model. The Titans, they lost their starting right tackle, but they brought back their backup right tackle, Dennis Kelly, who had started games for them. So the Titans are going to be the same way on offense. They are going to have pretty much all 11 people back as well. The only thing they're going to be replacing, you know, from the point where Delanie Walker got hurt, obviously he's gone, but he didn't play the last half of the season anyways. And they're going to run it back with a team that's very familiar as well. Whereas you take a team like Baltimore, you take a team like them and you look and say, well, you've added some new pieces, especially on defense. You're shuffling things around on offense. Can we expect rookies and new free agent signings to make as big of an impact in 2020 as years past? Do you think there's anything to this, Cody, in terms of continuity? Or will these teams be able to just say, you know what, we'll figure it out?
I mean, I think that offense is going to be really good still. But I think Kansas City, I don't know if they can – it's hard to run it back, you know,
uh-huh.
and go back-to-back. But that – looks like it should still be the best offense in the league. It's not really aging other than Sammy Watkins. I mean, you got a lot of young pieces there. It's not like you got a bunch of old veterans. I imagine they're going to be just as good as they were this past year.
You don't usually get this with Super Bowl champions. Usually Super Bowl champions have to make tough decisions. They have to replace people. They don't get a chance to run things back basically as is. And, you know, not only did they keep 10 of their 11 starters together, Cam, have you found the one starter gone yet or no? See if you can find – I'm assuming
yeah,
it's not –
yeah, I think it's one of the linemen. I'm double-checking. They kept changing their lineup a little bit.
Okay. But not only are they keeping all those players, they're also keeping their offensive coordinator and head coach. Like, there's no turnover.
Yeah, their offensive coordinator should have gotten a job somewhere probably, but he didn't.
Whereas if you just looked and compared, you know, 2 years ago when the Patriots beat the Rams – you know, at the very least, they lost Gronkowski, right?
Mm-hmm.
At the very least, they no longer had a guy who made some really big plays for them across their career, and that was a big loss. And, you know, I don't think the Patriots of 2019 ever really recovered from not having a big-time tight end because they had a big-time tight end. Sometimes they had two big-time tight ends, you know, for the last really 12 years, 11 years.
Yeah, and they were getting older too. Whereas this sure. Kansas City team is not very old.
No, I mean, I was surprised.
Average age of the offense, I think, is pretty young.
I was really surprised to see how old Sammy Watkins is.
He seems like the veteran there.
Right.
And he's probably, how old is he? Well, he was playing in,
if you think about it, you might come up with the proper answer. But the point is, your snap reaction is, yeah, Sammy Watkins has been around forever. Sammy Watkins is a veteran.
Did he play with Taj Boyd?
I'm sure he did, because he's 26. So, I mean, he's not.
Oh. Well, he's not old at all.
That's what I'm saying. But, like, you hear Sammy Watkins, and I was thinking, yeah, I mean, it's crazy that they're giving this, you know, 30-year-old wide receiver $17 million. But then you're like, wait, he's 26.
Sammy Watkins is
26. He turns 27 in June. He's the same age as Tyreek Hill, comparatively speaking.
How is that even? It seems like he's been around forever.
That's what I'm saying. Like whenever I was reading the story about him restructuring his deal, I'm like, yeah, Watkins, who is 26, you know, like he didn't have a lot of luck in the regular season outside of week 1 against Jacksonville, but they pointed out, you know, AFC Championship and Super Bowl, he came to play. He showed up in the Patriots AFC Championship last year too. They're basically like, this guy's a big game wide receiver, and when teams focus on Tyreek Hill in these big moments, Watkins has always came through. So we're paying him. And the GM said it. We're paying Sammy Watkins for the big games. DeMarcus Robinson, Mecole Hardman, those guys are fine the regular season. But when it comes time to go to war, it comes time when the bullets are flying, to use bad metaphors about sports and warfare, like, you could trust Sammy Watkins in your foxhole. Like, that guy's coming up with big plays. And they're like, you know what? Let's just give him. Let's pay him. Let's get an extra $5 million. We'll try to spread that around with some depth. But let's keep Sammy Watkins. Let's keep this entire core together on offense. And let's go back. Let's run it back. Let's try to win a Super Bowl in an offseason where these guys bringing in new players are going to struggle.
Yeah, he only played 3 years at Clemson from 11 to 13.
But, I mean, it feels like he's been around forever. Like, I mean, it feels like even in the NFL, he's been around since longer than 2014. Like, you know, he bounced around from Buffalo to the Rams to the Chiefs, but I mean, like, it seems as if he had.
I guess he was 20 when he got drafted.
Yeah.
And he's, he's been in the league 6 years.
No, like I said, it obviously makes sense when you start thinking about it.
Yeah.
But just when I saw that, I was like, wow.
People always talk about him like he's washed up, like he's old.
Well, he gets banged up. He'll have some lower extremity issues, but like I said, you know, this was a guy. I think the problem with Watkins, Cody, is that he was expected to be so good so early, right? Didn't Buffalo like trade up to get him?
He was so good so early.
I mean, but like he was supposed to be like this best receiver in the league type of thing. So we've just known about him even from his like rookie year. He has been on the radar. He came in with high expectations, and
yeah,
you know,
one of those guys we always followed.
Yeah, he went fourth overall.
They traded up to get him, too, yeah. I'm pretty sure. So, like, you know, his first rookie season, he had, you know, almost 1,000 yards and 6 touchdowns. His second year, he had 1,000 yards and 9 touchdowns. So, like, he busted onto the scene.
But he hasn't replicated that since.
And, you know, a couple of those seasons shortened to injury. 2016, 8 games. 2018, 10 games.
Mm-hmm. 2017, he did have 8 touchdowns, but only 593 yards.
Yeah, I mean, like he caught some touchdowns and made a couple big plays, but for the most part was non-existent. So, you know, you hear that name and you're thinking, ah, well. But then you see him at Kansas City and, you know, he had 3 touchdowns week 1 against the Jaguars last year. 180 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
He finished the season with 3 touchdowns.
Yeah. That was a big game, though.
673 yards and 3 touchdowns, which means basically for the rest of the season, he had what? Basically, let's just call it 500 yards.
And no touchdowns.
But the Chiefs are betting on 2 things. 1, that he's a big game player, and 2, continuity. We're not going to have time to break in new people on this offense. We got to hit the ground running. OTAs aren't going to go off. Like, because, you know, Roger Goodell says the season's going to start as planned. That's his expectation right now. Which means at the very least you have to think the OTAs might be a little scattered if you're trying to kick the season off. You know, August for preseason, September for regular season. Maybe they shorten the preseason even more this year. I don't know. Maybe the players don't play in the preseason. The good players. Like, maybe no good players play in the preseason at all. you have to bet on continuity, and that's what the Chiefs are doing.
Mm-hmm.
Let's switch. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think that offense is going to be just as good.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if – that doesn't necessarily mean that they can run it back just because, you know, there's other factors. I mean, teams are going to be different. We'll see how they are on defense and all that. But as far as that offense, I don't see any reason why it would regress.
Yeah, I mean, running it back has good things and also bad things. When you have a championship team that – you look at Mahomes, you look at a lot of that core, I mean – they were, you know, Watkins and Hill and Kelsey were all there in 2018 as well, right? When they went deep into the playoffs and went to the AFC Championship.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, running it back, and this will be the third straight year of basically running it back, you do worry about fatigue and you do worry about the toll on the body, right? Like, playing a lot of extra games compared to, you know, sometimes it's nice to get fresh bodies in and keep your extension, you know, keep your essential core, but then upgrade or get younger and other pieces, just because you want to, you know, it's a body factory, right? You got to get some guys that haven't been broken down by playing 18, 19 games.
Yeah, I mean, they're playing at least a couple extra every year.
Right, I mean, they played 18 in 2018, right?
Yeah, and then 19 last year.
And then 19 last year?
But, I mean, just over 2 years, I wouldn't think that has too much of an impact.
I mean, if you get to a third year though, like, I mean, if you get late in that season, that does take an impact on the bodies. You just don't see it very often, right? I mean, there's a reason that you haven't.
Patriots did it forever.
Yeah, I mean, but I would like to see because I don't think of the Patriots as the thing I suggested more so than what the Chiefs are doing, right? I think of the Patriots as we kept our essential core together.
Mm-hmm.
Brady, Gronk, the McCourties, or at least the one McCourty. And I feel like the other pieces were pretty interchangeable, right? Like, they were bringing in Stephon Gilmore to replace Darrell Revis. They were bringing in a couple of different wide receivers. Now, in part because, like, you know, their wide receivers weren't very good. And in another part because, like, they were just trying to, you know, keep value there with young, underpaid guys.
They kept the essentials together.
Right, they kept the essentials. Of course, Brady, Belichick were there. Gronk was there. Some key defensive pieces. But, you know, they weren't keeping Chandler Jones there, right? I mean, they sent him to Arizona. Like, they would send some big names away to say, look, you got wear and tear on your body. It's time to make a move. We're going to replace you with somebody who we think can do just as good of a job for cheaper. They didn't go with the sentimental route. Now, I'm not saying the Chiefs are going sentimental here because this is, you know, extenuating circumstances. This is unusual. But I don't think of the Patriots, for as long as they've had success, I don't think of them necessarily as running back the same exact team. The core, yeah. The essential core, for sure. But, I mean, just look at what happened to the Warriors, right? I mean, they kept trying to run back the same team, and you have all those extra playoff games caught up to them, and that's basketball. That's not even football with the same physical, like, toll. But, you know, they went to four straight finals. Or was it five straight finals? 16, 17, 18, 19. Four straight finals.
That seems like
15, 16, 17, 18, 19. Five straight finals. And then by the end of it, you had Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant limping around. Iguodala was hurt. Like, everyone was just, like, banged up and hurt from all the extra games for, you know, keeping the same team together for an extended period of time.
It almost seems like more of a toll just because they played so many games. I mean, I know it's not as physical, obviously, as football, but still, football, you're playing. Those are just two or three games a year,
yeah,
on one side of the ball. Like, basketball, playing in all those series for multiple, yeah, I mean, years like that?
You play over 100 games, basically, if you go 82 games, plus you get into at least usually 18 games in the playoffs. I mean, you're cracking over 100 games now.
I mean, I almost wonder if that's even more of a toll. Like, LeBron making the 8 straight finals, you know.
Well, see, he's the ultimate key about the Patriots, right? I mean, he kept that core fresh. He wasn't running with the same guys. He saw the Heat wear down first, and then he's like, you know what? Going to Cleveland because Kyrie, and then we'll trade for Kevin Love. Those guys are young and fresh. They'll extend my window. He got there, they did that, and he looked around and said, okay, Cleveland, I've taken them as far as I can go. Going to L.A., getting some more younger guys to help.
And yet he was still the best player through all that, which is crazy for him to have had the biggest toll, the biggest load to carry.
But like I said, they changed the guts of that team. He was smart. He just changed franchises more so than trying to get new players. He's like, you know what, I'm just going to get a new franchise. Let's keep these faces fresh.
Yeah, Patriots kept some guys around together for a long time. I was thinking about Vince Wilfork. I remember Vince Wilfork. He was there for 10 years.
They let him go at the end, too. He went to Houston, right? Didn't he end up in Houston his last couple years?
I think so, yeah. I miss watching him play.
On the surface, I mean, I think I'd have to disagree, Cody, about your wondering about the NBA having more of a toll, just because we have maybe it's not the toll, maybe it's just the salary cap, right? You know, in large part, players on winning teams get overpaid, right?
Mm-hmm.
Usually overpay for the second receiver on a Super Bowl winning team because you're like, oh, well, if they're number two there, they can come here and be a number one. And it doesn't really work that way. Those guys get paid, those guys retire, or whatever. So maybe it's not the wear and tear that makes the dynasties in the NFL hard. Maybe it's just like the salary cap. And the NFL is a little bit more geared to parity than the NBA. But I don't know, I feel like it's tougher to keep those good teams together. Maybe it's not the wear and tear, though. Maybe it is tougher in the NBA to have a run more than 3 years, because we haven't really seen any teams four-peat, you know what I mean? 3 years, you're usually the max.
Yeah,
throughout history. I mean, outside of the Celtics in the 60s, like, we haven't had any four-peats. Lakers couldn't do it. Warriors couldn't do it. Celtics of the 80s couldn't do it. LeBron couldn't do it, even on different franchises.
Nobody's really done it in any sport.
Yeah, I was wondering. I didn't know if, like,
as far as team sports,
70s or something, if anybody had ran off four straight.
No hockey teams have done it. No baseball teams have
really?
Done it.
Really? No teams have won four in a row?
I mean, not that I can.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe somewhere down the line somebody did. But
we talked some Sammy Watkins. We'll talk a little college football. His coach trying to pump out the PCO today. We'll dive into that. We'll dive into the effect that this same thing we're talking about in the NFL, what it could mean for college football. Stick with us. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
Picking up a
Dabo Sweeney was pretty forthright, saying we're going to play football. Now, I mean, he might have just been doing some speaking into existence thing, but he's like, hey, we are going to play football. That's the best scenario. And he tells us, Tigers, this is going to end really. This is gonna end real soon. He does gonna instead of going to.
I was gonna say that would be Tigers.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is gonna end real soon.
Yeah. This is gonna end real soon. That's what Tigers means.
I hope they keep that going in terms of their motto, and it is reflective of their program and their little dynasty. They never really had a dynasty, but they had a, you know, they've been good every year.
They haven't had a dynasty, but they've had a really good run. I don't think you can be a dynasty when you are not the only one. Like, you are not the only power. Like, they haven't usurped Alabama's reign of terror just yet, right? I mean, like, I feel like Alabama's coming to an end, but I'm not going to say that like, Clemson is the premier. If Clemson would have won this year, they might have had a claim.
Yeah,
but they did.
They didn't beat LSU.
They didn't beat LSU. So I'm not going to even entertain the idea that they are a dynasty.
To me, they're the most. I think they're the most unlikable team in college football. That's just for me personally. I just don't like Dabo, and I don't like Trevor Lawrence.
Okay.
They're just very, very unlikable to me.
Fair enough.
But, you know, so when I hear the this is going to end real soon, I hope they keep the motto. And I hope it applies to their program. But, yeah, Dabo, he came out and said his only focus right now is players reporting to camp on time in August. He says, let's get to work and go play. That's the best case scenario, and I think that's what's going to happen. I don't have any doubt. I have zero doubt that we're going to be playing and the stands are going to be packed.
Like I said, he might just be doing a little trying to speak it into existence. He might be doing that. But he's saying they're going to play.
Well, he said he's planning only for the optimistic version of events. Despite concerns by others, the season might be delayed or canceled. He said, that's just my mindset. I got one plan. That's to get us ready to play in August, early September. I'll leave it to the smart people to figure out the doomsday scenarios. We've got one scenario, and that's to run down that hill and kick it off in the valley.
What we just talked about, I mean, is there anything else you want to say about Dabo and his PCO, like his positive outlook, his positive content? Like he, yeah. I mean, I feel like if you're saying that, then that means that you are preparing for that. And I think you'll have a lot of coaches saying, like, look, there's no way we're not playing football. And we've talked about this all week. It makes it really tough not to have football whenever you think about the financial implications. So Dabo went a little too far, in my opinion, of saying, like, he thinks – or I think Davo's vision. I don't think he went too far by saying it, but I think Davo's fantasy of like having, you know, Death Valley rocking as he said it, that still seems like it's going to be tough to imagine for me to like run in the fall on schedule, 100,000 people. Like we've been talking about that. I'm not seeing anything this week that makes me change my mind in that regard.
Well, Dabo's only thinking about the positivity. He refuses to look at it that way. This is America, man. He went on to say this. We've stormed the beaches of Normandy. We've sent a rover out on Mars and walked on the moon. This is the greatest country. We've created an iPhone where I can sit here and talk to people in all these different places. We got the smartest people in the world. We're going to rise up and kick this thing in the teeth and get back to our lives. Problem is, Dabo, we don't know where to kick it. Our enemy is invisible. You can't just kick it in the teeth.
But he said, hey, we got some nationalism, USA type of stuff going on there.
He seems like he would be a big patriotic guy.
USA, yeah, I mean, like, it's true, America. We don't yield, we don't back down, we don't bend the knee, don't tread on me. We're going to kick some ass.
Kind of did in Vietnam.
R.I.P. Uncle Joe.
This is an invisible enemy, though. I always think of the Jon Snow quote. Do you think about that? Because every time the president goes up and he's at the press conference and he's talking about our invisible enemy, I can't help but think of that Jon Snow quote. Our enemy doesn't tire, doesn't stop, doesn't feel. It always gives me those vibes. It's kind of what Dabo's saying. But he says we're going to kick it in the teeth.
We're going to rise up, going to kick a little ass, going to kick some ass in the USA. Gonna climb a mountain, gonna sew a flag, gonna fly on an eagle, gonna kick some butt, gonna drive a big truck. I'm gonna rule this world. Rock flag and eagle, USA, USA.
Where is that from?
That's a freestyle. That was just me freestyling. Gonna kick some butt, gonna drive a big truck. That's what this country's all about.
I feel like you read that off something.
Just a freestyle. Just a little freestyle. Well, what we were talking about with the Chiefs and the NFL, how does that play out when it comes to the how you view the college football season? We'll dive into that next. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program, did you catch any, either one of you catch any of the 06 Rose Bowl replay last night?
I caught it in 06.
That was the sports event of last night. You had people live tweeting that one.
The 06 Rose Bowl?
USC.
Vince Young,
yeah.
And USC, yeah. Huh?
Yeah.
I think we all remember that one. Classic game.
One of the best ever. One of the best of my lifetime, for sure.
Yeah,
someone
maybe.
Someone who is 30 years old. That is one of the best.
Maybe the GOAT. The GOAT game of our lifetime. Maybe.
I have regrets. I was rooting for USC in that game.
I don't think that's regretful, is it?
I feel like in hindsight I wouldn't have, but I thought USC was going to kill them. And I'd bet with a lot of friends that USC was going to – I think the spread was like 6 or 7. I was going to cover the spread easily. So I didn't get to enjoy the Vince Young magic. That's one of my regrets It sucks when every now and then you are on the wrong side of rooting interest of a magical moment because it takes the moment away from you. I had one friend or one guy I didn't even really like that kind of hung out with us. He was adamant for a long time that Texas was going to win, and I would constantly argue with him. And he had that over me, so I couldn't enjoy Vince Young creating magic.
I just can't imagine rooting for Texas personally.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I liked Vince Young. All right. Mac Brown, I liked him all right. But I just – Texas, just something about Texas. I don't like the Texas Longhorns.
Would Texas have not have been like the babyface in the scenario? Like, I imagine people were pretty tired of USC. But at the same time, I mean, they at least had some – like, people liked Reggie Bush.
Well, because of the fact that you were at the – you know, USC had kind of the dynasty going.
Right.
Before we knew what a dynasty was, before Alabama came along. I mean, they had the first little dynasty. And so I guess Texas was probably who people were rooting for. I'm sure at the time I was rooting for Texas, but looking back, I'd rather root for USC, I think.
I just get sad. I got sad seeing the tweets and seeing the game. Just about Vince Young's time with the Titans, I think he could have been really good had he had a different coach.
Yeah, just bad draw.
I thought he could have found a way to succeed. Maybe he wouldn't have. Maybe he was a lost cause. Maybe he had been a superstar and he wasn't going to be accurate enough and couldn't handle the lifestyle that the NFL money brings. But watching that and then thinking back to his first couple of years, I mean, it did seem like he had the it factor, as they say. Watching that and see how special he was in that fourth quarter and then realizing what had happened in his Titans tenure and in his career just kind of made me sad. It took away from the experience a little bit. Also, that Reggie Bush lateral remains one of the craziest plays, the dumbest plays that a guy's ever tried in a big game.
The lateral?
Yeah. Where he has like a 20-something yard gain and then he tries to flip the ball over his head. It's like the first quarter. He just pissed it back behind his head trying to lateral it and like no one catches it and Texas falls on it and they lose the ball.
I have trouble remembering.
You don't remember that one? That one has stood out to me ever since then. Cam, do you remember the lateral Reggie Bush tried?
Yeah, that was absurd.
We hadn't really seen anything like that since last year, until last year in that Texans Bills game when Josh Allen tried to lateral with like a minute and a half left to like his third string tight end on the sideline. Like that was the closest we had gotten to the Reggie Bush moment. But at least that was in the fourth quarter and not like the first quarter when Reggie Bush just decided to go YOLO with it and flip the ball behind his head. Is there a game that you wish you could watch again for the first time?
That's a good question.
Wish that you could experience and just like unplug from and see and live? Because I mean, like, I'm always thinking that through TV shows. Like, I wish I could go and relive the feeling of watching Breaking Bad or...
Yeah. Well, I remember that's how I felt the first time I ever saw Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. Through the, you know, obviously the first few six seasons. And I still remember the moment when the big moments happen and you feel that for the first time, you know, and you're like, whoa, I had no idea. I feel it more with shows, I think, than I do games.
Yeah.
Games are like... I don't know, because each game, you always know there's another game. Games are always unique. I never have an urge, I guess, to really go back and watch them, unless it's like a big win for Tennessee, like a good Tennessee win, you know, like Florida 2016 or something.
I guess it just comes down to which game made you the happiest or which game was the most exciting, really.
Pretty much.
There might be some personal reasons there attached to them, but, you know, that 06 Rose Bowl felt – like that a little bit. It was just such a good game. But yeah, I kind of like those games, actually. Like I liked the Rose Bowl knowing what was going to happen and just seeing, wow, down 11 with like 6 minutes left, how are they going to pull this off?
Yeah, actually awaiting the result that you knew, even though you knew it was coming.
Like that was one of the special things about whenever Kobe died, RIP. Whenever he died and they replayed that Jazz game.
Mm-hmm.
That was maybe the funnest part of watching him score 60 was like, there's 4.5 minutes left and he only has 43. Like, what's he about to do? Or he had 47, whatever it was. Like, is he really about to score 13 points here and they're going to come back and win this game? Wow.
It'll always still be better, though, seeing it in the moment, right? I mean, you would agree with that, wouldn't you?
Better, I would say yes, but like it, for me, some of those moments still have a different meaning and still hold up for different reasons because of, like I said, how many points you can score at a certain moment. And like you know what's about to happen. Like, how's this actually going to happen?
Yeah, you can probably appreciate it more once you know what happens.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. You appreciate it more.
But still in the moment, just the first time you see something is always just – it's going to be the most – more amazement to it, I suppose.
There's a lot of talent. There's a lot of talent on both of those teams. Texas and USC.
Yeah.
And it was kind of crazy to see that, like, both those teams just have fallen off so much since then. Like, at the time, like, you watch that and you're like, man, Texas, USC, this is going to be the rivalry for the foreseeable future. And then it was over pretty quickly after that.
Texas was never really the same.
I would say USC was never the same.
Texas did get back to a national championship.
Yeah, Texas got back and played Alabama in 2009.
Could have very well won that one had Colt McCoy not gotten hurt.
And even almost won it after even Colt McCoy did get hurt. Alabama had to pull out a fake punt.
Garrett Gilbert, I believe, was the
quarterback. But Texas came back and either got the lead or got in a one-score game, and then Alabama pulled a fake punt out, and like Nick Saban helped bring that home. But to me, I would say USC was never the same. That was it for them.
That Alabama team would have never been there anyway had it not been for Terrence Cody. Kiffin should have beat him down in Tuscaloosa.
True. All right, you got the songs in. You ready to go? Part round two of music battle,
yeah,
whatever,
yeah,
the hell we call
good
this.
With that, yeah.
All right, let's do that coming up after the break.
Picking up a six-pack of beer on the way.
All right, round two of, what are we calling this? What's the title of this segment?
Do you know the song that's playing?
Round two of, do you know the song that's playing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you know the song that's playing? We could do a little jingle for it, you know?
Okay, that's fine with me. Round two, I'm up 1-0. Really,
yeah,
seven.
Yeah, yeah,
7-2, actually. I'm gonna keep a running tally of like the actual total points. 7-2. I am winning, so
it wasn't 7-2.
It was 7-2.
6-3 or
7-2.
Something like
it
that.
It was 7-2. Quick refresher. Cody's gonna answer rap classics or rap popular songs. I'll do rock. Steel, you have to get both the title and the artist. You get 1 point per artist and song if it's your topic.
Yep.
I probably just made that more confusing than it had to be. But
yeah, you get a point if you name the artist. You get a point if you name the song. So a total of 2 points per song.
Right, but only one if you're
stealing. You need
it.
Both.
Yeah, yeah, only one if you steal. Yeah.
Right.
And you need both.
You need both. If the other person gets one of the other ones, you can't steal.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so who wants first up this time?
And I'm up 7-2.
I went first last week.
Yeah, but I'm up 7-2, so I get to decide.
That doesn't matter.
You can go first again.
I like going first, actually.
Good.
You
no
go first?
Excuses.
Huh?
You want to go first?
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I'll go.
I guess I gotta pause the podcast.
Yeah, pause the podcast. Don't get us in trouble.
All right, okay. Here's your first song, Cody.
So, I know that song, but what is it called? That's the thing.
That is the thing.
That's the tough part.
That's the hard part of naming the song is the name.
I definitely know the song because it was going on during my, you know.
Thought so.
When I was growing up, I heard it all the time. You'll have me suicidal when you say it's over.
You got a guess, or?
I'm going to go name of the song, Beautiful Girls. Is it Sean something? Little Sean? There's nothing showing here. Now, let's turn them upside down. There's nothing on the screen.
What is this?
There's nothing on the screen. That's CNN anchor.
What is this? What is this? What is on your
CNN anchor Brooke Baldwin?
What are you doing during the show over here?
CNN anchor Brooke.
What are you doing in the show during the show over here?
CNN anchor Brooke Baldwin has been diagnosed.
That's not it. There's a text message right underneath it. What the hell do you do during the show?
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about that.
Was that the dream you had last night?
Is that Sean? Beautiful girl. Is it Sean Kingston?
Oh, my God.
Am I wrong?
That's it?
Oh, my God.
You got them both.
Got a real complaint here, by the way. You said you were worried about the song title being in the song, and you just went with Beautiful Girls.
Well, I had to figure out the artist.
That's fine.
I was having
trouble. That's fine. I'm impressed with the artist. I'm a little confused that Cam's saying he was worried about my rock song having too long of it. It might say the name of the song, as you have one that just says Beautiful Girls. And what the hell's going on in your cell phone during the show?
I told you Brooke Baldwin has the coronavirus.
I now understand why you were always so distracted during the show. I now get it.
Let's move on.
All right, we'll give Cody 2 points there. That's
by the way, though, please
note. Please
note that I'm very upset that the song is Beautiful Girls and the whole song was
Beautiful Girls. Well, thank you, Cam. Thank you. You got a couple of layups last week. I feel like it's fair. I think that's fair.
I'm not going to file an official complaint, but just know I'm unhappy about it.
I got 2 points so far.
We'll see how hard the rock songs are, because I feel like Cam's going to overcorrect here.
I hope
we're just going to have deep
cuts. I
hope
he does.
We're going to have deep cuts from rockers I've never heard of.
I sure hope so.
Let's go.
Okay, well, all right, here's the first one for you, John.
I don't know who sings Horse With No Name. Can you play it one more time?
And you did get the song name, right?
So it's America.
Okay.
Horse With No Name by America.
Name by America.
Okay.
All right, so 1 point, John.
Two points, Cody.
Yeah, 2-1.
Okay.
How about that?
All right, Cody, you ready for your next song?
Probably not, but we'll see.
That damn horse with no
All
name.
All right, here we go.
That damn horse with no name.
Can you play it again? I want to hear the voice again.
I'll play it again.
He doesn't want to hear the voice. I know what he's doing here.
What?
Go on. I'm scared to look at your phone to make sure you're not cheating.
I'm going to sound so stupid because I don't know who it is. And I'm.
Do you know the name of the song? You better get the name of the song or else I'm stealing.
Ray J. See, I sound so stupid.
You did sound stupid there. Yeah. You did sound really stupid
Lonely
there.
Lonely Nights.
I don't know. Day and Night.
Slow-mo.
Day and Night. Kid Cudi.
Yeah, I never would. Ah, I do remember Kid Cudi. I used to listen to him when me and my buddy Mo back home were getting high. I do remember his name.
Yeah. I was really mad because at first it was like, at night, I thought I was going to go back into the chorus of Day and Night. I was going to say, what the hell is happening here?
I may have put the wrong part of Beautiful Girls on there, but I tried to
you
sing
definitely
it up
put
in
the
between.
You really put the worst part of Beautiful Girls on there.
I should have gotten the artist. I have trouble distinguishing.
All right, well, that ties the game because John got a steal there.
All right.
Wait, you got the whole thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I knew both.
Oh.
I'm going to get every steal. The key is, the way I'm going to win this game is I at least get the artist or the song of rock, and then I hope that I can steal from you. That's the way to win here.
So what's the score?
It's 2-2.
It's 2-2. John, are you ready for your next song?
I'm ready. Let's go.
All right.
We're doing 3 songs, right?
Yep. Yes. So, here you go. Going with Journey.
As the artist, yeah.
That is incorrect.
Damn it. I don't have a guess on the song.
That is Jukebox Hero by Foreigner.
All right. That's a steal for Cody.
Are Journey and Foreigner thought of to be similar?
Same era.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, like, same kind of sound, right?
You weren't too far off.
Foreigner is another band that I sort of kind of know, but then I don't know any of their songs, I don't think. What's the best Foreigner song? Is that the best Foreigner song?
I would say that one. I don't really like Foreigner, but I would say that one.
What's their most popular song?
They've got...
Because I think they have a really popular song that maybe I've heard before that I thought was Journey and ended up being Foreigner. Yeah, it's fine. You don't have to look it up. It's not that big of a deal.
I want to know what love is. I want to know what
I know that
is.
Song, but that doesn't. I didn't think
cold
that was
as ice.
It was cold as ice. No, I didn't think that was
went
Journey.
Into sacrifice.
Okay, I mean,
hot blooded,
right.
Urgent. They've actually got a long.
Yeah, I mean, I knew they had hits. I just okay. Damn it.
All right, so Cody's up by a point, 3-2, going into Cody's final song.
Okay,
ready for the song, Cody?
I'm ready. We can win it.
How popular was that song, by the way, in your opinion?
Right, that's
that pretty popular.
It's as popular as Kid Cudi.
Ah. For your age group?
For what we're doing here.
I don't know if it was.
I took it off a popular song list.
Okay. That song? That. Jukebox yeah. Man?
Jukebox Hero.
Jukebox Hero? Okay. Yeah. I'd never heard that song before. Either way.
All right, Cody, here's your final song. Let's go.
What a joke.
God, what's the name of the song?
What a joke. What a stupid song.
Lil Wayne.
Never mind.
You spit water in my mouth.
Never mind.
Hang on.
Too late. The Lil Wayne
play it again.
The
play
guest,
it again. Play
Lil
it again.
Lil Wayne was already the guest, by the way.
Play it again.
I did tap that in. Yep.
Okay, so that it wasn't edited, so I was like, let's cut it off this time.
No,
but
yeah,
it was.
No. I know the
You're
song.
You're not going to get the name of the song.
But I know it, though.
Yeah, you do. It's one of our, well. You give up.
I feel like I'm choking here.
I mean, there's no reason to drag this out if you don't know it.
The voice that was not Lil Wayne?
No, you're wrong on the artist. You're 0-2. You don't get another guess on the artist. You already had 2.
I guess I didn't get it.
It's Drake.
I hate Drake.
And it's Headlines. And we have a rejoin that has it whenever
As
you're reading.
As if I know what the song is playing during Headlines.
Well, no, it's during a rejoin about Headlines whenever you came in with the, come in, sports people, I'm going to feed you. And then you have the story about the Sacramento Kings.
I don't know Drake's voice. I missed Drake
I
last
that
week.
Last week.
Yeah, like
I missed Before Drake
I played
this
it
week.
Again, I was like, I want to see if Cody.
I thought I was getting. I thought the fix was in here, but never mind. Okay, so it's 3-3. Yep. I get the last song. So
what
as long
a choke
as,
job.
As long as I get the artist or the song,
what a choke job!
I can win here, and you yep. have to get both if I don't to win.
Yep. All right. We will.
That's a lot of pressure.
Start your song. That is correct.
Yes. Yes! Shout out to Kid Rock! Shout out to Kid Rock for his cover. Now, who sings it? That is the...
It's the Marshall Tucker Band.
You're just not... Marshall Tucker Band, it's my official guess. So, we won 5-3 this week. It brings our total to 12 to...
No, you did not win 5-3.
I hadn't made
you
my
won,
guess
you
yet.
Won 40. You weren't going to get it.
How do you know I wasn't going to get it? I know the song.
You had basically conceded
no,
that you
I
weren't going to get the
No, I know. I said shout out to Kid Rock.
You win 4-3.
5-3.
4-3.
5-3. You don't
we'll
get to
just
turn
chalk it as a win.
You don't get to turn the controller off. You don't get to turn the game off before I punch in the last touchdown.
I threw my
buddy.
Controller at the screen.
You don't get
do
to,
we have any bonus songs? Is
wow.
Is that everything?
We did.
What
we
a big
not,
L.
It was a,
what
it was
a big
a,
L.
Oh. I choked. I had it in the bag.
I think I did a better job with the tears this week.
I feel like this was a much fairer contest.
Good. Okay. That's what I was going for. So.
I mean, I would personally say that nobody that you played was as popular as Drake.
I just know he struggles with Drake.
Sure, but I mean, like, eventually he's going to be onto the trick, so let's maybe slow down the Drake. Yeah.
I was just...
Maybe put in some Kanye next week,
yeah,
maybe
nobody,
some Biggie.
Well, you thought Drake was Kanye, so I don't
no,
know.
No, I thought maybe... I knew that who was singing was not Kanye,
nobody
but
was as
the
popular
start of it
as Drake.
I thought might have
I
been
mean,
a Kanye
Foreigner,
song.
Foreigner, I mean, Marshall Tucker Band, I've heard of those guys. The first guy... Who was the first group?
America.
America.
Name.
Yeah, I'd never heard of... I mean, I don't know America. Like, those aren't necessarily Drake... And also, one of yours had the name of the song in it.
I should have got Kid Cudi. Yeah, but I got Sean Kingston.
That was impressive.
I remember
yeah,
Sean
I was,
Kingston.
I was,
that was impressive.
But now that was kind of a mess up on me. If I had cut a different part of the song out.
But then I choked.
I was
there.
Impressed with Sean Kingston. And
I should have got Kid Cudi. I never would have got the song, but
and
I should have got him.
The most important part of the segment was realizing that you... I know why you're distracted now on your phone. Pick up your phone to make sure you're not cheating and just... Just things that I shouldn't have seen. Just there, hanging out. We'll come back. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Your left front seat, sitting in the back seat. Gotta make my mind up. Which seat can I take? It's Friday.
A Chance at Redemption. Here you go, Cody. Who sings the song and what's the name of it?
Rebecca Black. It's Black, isn't it? Rebecca Black?
I don't know.
Or is it Rebecca Gray? It's Rebecca in some color. Rebecca Blue? Rebecca, no. It's Rebecca Black is what I'm going with. That was my first thought.
Okay.
And it's just called Friday, isn't it?
You are correct.
Okay, good. Yeah.
A little bit of redemption.
Maybe he needs pop music.
Yeah. Pop music would be good. Yeah.
Gotta make my mind up.
Which
seat will I take?
Go.
No. No, it's which seat.
Not
will
which
I
way
take?
Will I go?
No, which seat will I take?
Which seat will I take?
That's when she was dropping the bars when she came into her car and somebody was in the front seat already, someone was in the back seat, so now she has to realize which seat is she going to take.
Didn't she have a whole thing about getting bullied?
Yeah, I mean, cause see, I mean, her life got made hell after that song because it was really, really bad, and the video was really bad, and she was just trying to make a song, and she was a kid, but it went viral, obviously for the wrong reasons.
Yeah, at least she got the fame out of it.
I don't know. She got some fame out of it, which is good, but I don't know how much she's profited off of it yet because, I mean, you know, last year she was doing a show at Barley's. Which I know some big people have come through Barley's, but usually they're on the way up. Like, you're finding out about them at Barley's. It's not like you were famous and then you come to Barley's.
Maybe she's on the way up. Maybe she's got a whole career other than that Friday song, and she's building it. Maybe that launched her into stardom.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, probably not.
No.
Does she perform that song, I wonder?
I feel like she has to, but I'm sure she does it after giving a speech about, like, her life.
I just want to let you know, this is the first song I ever wrote, and I was really bullied. People made fun of me for
it. Exactly.
But I want you to know that you should love yourself,
exactly.
No matter what.
Exactly.
You should love who you are, and you should chase your dreams, and this is Friday.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, some stupid
something
speech
like
that.
Or maybe she'll do a different version of it and try to make it cool, make it rock or something, do something like that. But you can't be Rebecca Black and not play Friday, right?
I feel like that's what everybody knows you for. So,
like,
that would be like if you're Rick Springsteen and you didn't do Jesse's Girl.
Like, I think he leans into it. I think he just plays it nonstop. I think he'll try to sprinkle it in 3 or 4 times during his shows.
Yeah.
You open with Jesse's Girl, you play it again halfway through.
Well, he teases it. Did I ever tell you I worked security
for him? You might have told
me
that, or maybe I've seen it somewhere else. Like, he knows that he just strings the audience along. Here's a little bit of Jesse's Girl.
Yeah, halfway through, he's played, like, the opening note, and he's like, no, not yet.
Yeah.
Not yet. You got to listen to all this other garbage.
Right. Right. That's what I will give Garth Brooks credit for whenever he had a concert. Not the one at Neyland. I didn't go to that one. But the last time he was here, he's like, look, I know I've got this new album. Let's be honest. He didn't say it, but everyone's kind of like, yeah, let's be honest. It kind of sucks. He's like, I know you're not here to hear that. You're here to hear the old stuff. That's what we'll do.
Right. Yeah.
You're here to hear the play. Here to hear the hits.
Nobody wants to hear the new stuff anyway.
You'd have to be a real jerk to have, like, one massive hit. But I would say that you start hating that song.
Yeah. Well, the Eagles, I watched a documentary on the Eagles one time, and they talked about, like, how sick and tired they were of playing Hotel California. Because they've just had to play it a million times, you know?
I'm sure they hate it.
Like, that one song, you play it for 40 years, you're going to be...
And is that what got them famous, or no? They're already famous before Hotel California.
Yeah, they were famous way before.
Right, but so it's a little bit different, but imagine being an artist, like, that's kind of what you got known for, and then you're stuck, like, always having to do that.
Yeah.
And it might be something, a stupid song or something, but you can't ever escape that.
Well, that was kind of when they got taken seriously as a rock and roll band, though.
Okay.
Because Joe Walsh had entered the band.
Yeah.
And he was more of a rocker, you know. They were more of a country band, really, before that. Take It Easy.
Yeah, they made it.
Might as well be a country song.
Ooh. Yeah, I mean, I guess it was a country song at its peak when
Travis
Tritt did it. Yeah.
At its peak.
When it was better than ever before.
That's a funny take.
It's a factual take, but either way.
It's not at all. Not even close.
Yeah, they talk about that. You should check out the show. I think you'd like it on FX.
What's
Dave?
That? Dave?
Yeah, the
Rick,
show.
Rick was showing me that the other day.
Yeah?
He said it's got a similar feel to it as Curb because it's...
Yeah, I mean, it's Lil Dicky, and he is...
Right.
He has talked before about, like, having strong influence from Larry David. Like, just in his life and music and stuff. So, yeah, it's got some Curb feel to it.
Well, and the director, or I don't know, director, producer, or something, that Jeff Schwartz guy.
Okay, I didn't put that together.
He was the guy from Curb.
Okay.
So it's got a Curb feel to it.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I watched a little bit of one episode about the milking.
Yeah.
So I watched some of that.
Yeah, that one was pretty funny.
Yeah, but that's all I've seen.
But at one point in the show, like, he's talking, like, he did something that went viral and he got famous, but, like, then... That's what everyone was coming up to him like in the streets telling him to do. And he's like, no, I don't want to do that. Like, no, that's just, that was just a joke kind of thing. Like, I'm not going to do that.
I'm better than that now.
Or just like, yeah, it was just meant to be a joke. Like, it's just a way to try to bring you in, like, not to, to put me in there. Say this all the time.
I'm another person.
Yeah.
I'm a real person.
A real person. Yeah. I got other things to say.
Maybe just don't treat me like I'm a, just your doll.
A little clown that you can pay to say things.
You actually have a conversation with me.
Yeah.
You know?
Find out how to get to know me.
Yeah. Don't box me in.
There's some irony.
Don't try and put me in a box.
There's some irony to Bill Withers dying during a...
Because it's cloudy today?
I was just going to say during a... separation time, social distancing time. Really
lean
on people right now. Gotta
That's sad when you put it that way.
Some irony to it. So, hour two in the books. We'll kick off hour three with headlines. We'll do some WrestleMania talk. Stick with us. Just talk sports.
My name is John Reed, and for years people made fun of me for not drinking beer. I tried to find some replacements, but they were all far too sugary and left me feeling bad. Lucky for me, I found Truly Hard Seltzer. It's refreshing with only 1 gram of sugar. You truly love to see it.
It's the dawn of a new game day, and Truly Hard Seltzer is subbing in for light beer. With 5% ABV, only 100 calories, and that's light and refreshing. Game day with Truly Hard Seltzer. Drink what you truly want. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, drink responsibly.
All right, Cam, what's your level of interest in WrestleMania this weekend? It's a Saturday-Sunday doubleheader.
First time I heard about it was when you mentioned it earlier in the show.
Okay, does that mean that's a one then, I guess?
Yeah, I'll give you a one. I'll give you a three just because there's no sports on.
Let's stay on topic, please. If I ask you you know, a question, let's answer it with the parameters, okay? I said one to ten,
okay,
so.
Okay, yeah, three.
Okay, thank you. Instead of you saying that, you know, it's the first time you heard about it, you could just say one, you know. A simple no would have been fine. You can get a free, you can watch it for free.
Ooh.
You can just create a WWE account and they give you a free trial. So you get a month for free. So you can watch WrestleMania. So you can have some content on Saturday and Sunday. Cody, where are you at?
Do we know which matches are going to be on which days?
The only one I know for sure that they've said for sure is Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins are on Saturday. He specifically said that in his promo was like Saturday night. Basically, I'm going to.
Okay.
Make my moment or whatever.
I'm looking at the card. We got a total of 16 matches. Well, Roman Reigns is out, right? So is Goldberg going to wrestle somebody else?
I would imagine that Goldberg already has his $4 or $5 million appearance fee paid so that he will show up. They will find a way tonight on SmackDown to get Roman Reigns out of the match and to get someone else in it. The question of who it's going to be, that is what we're kind of waiting on.
I tell you what, I'll give this. You're asking interest level?
Yeah.
I'm going to give you all the way up to a four.
Okay, wow. A four, that's pretty good.
Normally I wouldn't be that high, but it looks like there's a few decent matches. I know Rick will have it on the TV. Or will he have it on the TV? Because somebody said something about pay-per-view only. Was that a thing?
That had been rumored for a while, but that was rumored before like there were no fans in attendance. So, like, I don't think you can do that right now when people need content. Like, people need content, but no casuals especially, are going to pay $50, $60 on pay-per-view. I watch the product two shows a week, and I'm not paying $50 or $60 for it. Like, if they went pay-per-view only, like, I'm not watching. I would cancel the network. They wouldn't get my $10 a month anymore, and I would be done with them if they did that. If they waited till the last minute to say, hey, this thing you've been paying for, it's no longer getting what we told you, I would be out.
So we're going to watch it on the network, assuming it's on the network.
Yeah, I would think that they should have done something with Fox or Fox Sports 1 and just put it on regular TV.
Well,
that's what I thought. I thought that would have been more likely than going pay-per-view only, was try to put it in primetime and get a mainstream audience on one of the nights.
Well, is it going to be weird with the no fans?
It is like, going to be weird. It is going to be weird. So, and wrestling is weirder than other sports, I think.
With no fans. I mean, it's going to be hard to do the storylines and all that, right? Like, without the shock, without the crowd there. I mean, it just...
But you have to do it. Like, they can't delay like other TV shows and other sports leagues, like, because in the land of like fake fighting, like, they have to do a weekly show, and like, they have to have some wrestling matches, and they have to have some blow-offs of these beefs that have been blowing up, because, you know, they build it the whole time of, I just want to get my hands on somebody, not I want to get my hands on somebody in front of all the crowds, type, in front of the fans, you know?
Yeah. Because of the lack of fans, my interest is lowered, but because there's nothing else on, it's raised. So I'm going to even it out at about a 4 out of 10. And like I said, I know Rick will have it on the TV, and it looks like there should be some good matches. Brock Lesnar, Drew McIntyre, John Cena and The Fiend. Apparently Undertaker is still wrestling.
The Undertaker is still wrestling, yes.
He's in a Boneyard match against AJ Styles.
It's basically just a Buried Alive match, but yeah, I guess they're going to do it in a Boneyard. You remember the Buried Alive matches?
Oh, yeah.
You got to throw them in and put the dirt over them.
Edge Orton, last man standing match.
That has a chance to be really good in an empty arena. I would imagine they go all over the place in that one.
Yeah, that could probably be good. So there's a few things, I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing. Becky Lynch, she's going to be in action. I like seeing her in action.
Apparently they are going to show it on the Fox Sports app.
The app, huh?
Yeah, not on TV, but on the app for people.
Bobby Lashley, I always like seeing him.
He's not really doing much.
I like seeing him, though. I just like looking at
him. He's a physical specimen.
Yeah, he is.
He is a physical specimen.
Yeah, so I guess I'll stick with a 4.
Okay, that's fine.
Where are you at?
That's higher than I thought. I mean, I'm not much higher, honestly. It's weird. They've really, like, it sucks for them, and from a business and wrestling standpoint, they've really had to knock out of gear the last month. Like, they've put on shows, but the shows have all featured like 2 or 3 re-airs of other matches from like the past. They've only put on like 2 new wrestling matches, 3 wrestling matches per 3 hours. So like, they've really knocked out of gear. So this is going to be weird. This is going to be weird. And my interest level is, my excitement level is very low. My curiosity level is probably a little bit higher, just to see how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how much it's affected by not having a crowd. Do they try to do anything special, anything different? And I got to be honest, there's not really any matches I'm dying to see either. So this is going to, my interest is low, like 5. Like, I'm only 1 ahead of you, probably.
Okay.
And plus, like, now that we know that there's 2 nights, like, this thing is definitely going to be 8 hours. And that's a lot of wrestling to watch over the weekend.
Yeah, it does seem like a little much, doesn't it?
To me, it does. And I like wrestling. The one I'm probably looking forward to most, like, I think Edge and Randy Orton, they've done something cool with their program. They could have a good match. And I want to see what they do with Becky Lynch and Shayna Baszler. Those are the two. And I guess Cena and The Fiend will be kind of cool. But they had talked about, you know, if they were going to have no fans, doing it like in a Hooters, but then Hooters closed down. So
doing it in a Hooters.
That's where Bray Wyatt said he wanted to fight John Cena, was in a Hooters.
Okay.
But apparently that's not happening, so.
You know, the Hooters girls are still wearing their, even with the curbside to go, they're still wearing their skimpy.
Do we respect that, or do we say, like, that's messed up?
It seems
just
a little.
Or overkill, like. I mean,
it seems overkill to me. But they are, because I went and got some wings the other day.
Yeah, you got to live the gimmick, and I guess.
Yeah, the girl came out. I was surprised to see. I was like, why doesn't she dress normal? What, they're just, like, I guess they want to keep doing their branding.
The thing about a crisis is you got to have to move on. You can't let the crisis defeat you.
I guess so.
You have to continue with your way of life.
Yeah, I was surprised.
You could let them just wear regular clothes for a little bit, right?
She was in the whole outfit.
Did you tip her?
It was curbside to go, so.
You didn't tip her?
Yeah, so yeah, I did. I definitely did.
Are you lying?
I tip on curbside to go.
Did you or didn't you? Tell the truth.
I don't remember.
You don't remember?
I mean, the Sonic people bring you curbside to go, don't they?
I mean, you don't tip the Sonic people either?
Why is it? Let me ask you this.
Oh, my God.
Why is it that the Sonic people, if you tip them, it's like 50 cents or a dollar? But, like, if normal waiter or waitress brings you food to the side of your car, you tip them like $5. I've never understood that. What are they doing that's so much more than what the Sonic workers are doing?
Making $2.30 an hour.
So are the Sonic workers.
I don't think that's the case. I think if you work at Sonic, you make...
You think they're making minimum wage?
I'd say you're making minimum wage at least, and the tips go on top of that.
Maybe so. I feel like they're working... Like
the money thing is probably a big part of it.
Yeah, I think that's what they make at Sonic.
Well,
yeah,
I still feel like...
Who the hell would sign up to work at Sonic as a waitress to only make $2.50 an hour when you could go work at a restaurant and do that and make more money? So
yeah, that's a good point. I still feel like they're working harder, though.
I feel like that really just messed up your whole
theory, what they do different.
Like, it's money.
Right, sure. But I still think that the Sonic workers are working a lot harder.
And the to-go people usually have to...
Usually
the to-go people have to get the order ready and stuff, too, and do things like that.
They put a carton box in a bag. I mean... Throw some
plasticware
in there.
I'm sure you wanted your ranch with your wings, right? Don't lie. You wanted a ranch.
I mean, I got a ranch, but more for the carrots.
Well, I had to get your carrots ready, too, I guess, huh?
I mean, those Sonic workers.
Even during a crisis, you didn't tip the to-go
people. I tipped the to-go people.
I don't think you did.
I tipped the to-go people.
I don't think you did.
I'm just saying the Sonic workers, I don't tip them much. The Sonic workers, I think, are working harder. That's my take. They're going to way more cars. They're putting way more steps in. I think they're working harder than the Hooters to-go girl, the Hooters curbside girl.
Okay.
Those Sonic people are running. I mean, they're constantly running. You agree? Disagree?
With what?
I think that the Sonic, a Sonic worker in general works harder than a Hooters curbside to-go worker. Or it doesn't have to be Hooters, Applebee's, or whatever, curbside to go.
Well, usually in regular times, I'd say the people doing the curbside to go are probably also doubling as a host and hostess, or hostess, I would imagine.
You
I don't know.
So?
I don't know who. I've never dealt with anybody.
That's
who
another thing. That's like the easiest job ever.
There's some unknown politics in the host and hosting jobs, though.
What do you mean?
Who are you setting? Who are you giving the first dibs on the tables?
They're literally just walking somebody to a table and hand them a menu.
You
got to
map it out, though. No, you got to make sure the waitresses all have even numbers of tables.
You do risk having waiters and waitresses mad at you,
yeah,
I guess.
You have to give them – you have to – I mean, I'm sure that
Why does Jennifer have three tables and I've only got one table?
Right, especially – I'm sure there's some profiling there, too, of like, oh, you gave me the high school kids again, but you gave them the family of four. Oh, wow, that's messed up. Because you know you don't want the high school or college kids because, like, Cody, they're not going to give you a good tip.
They don't tip.
Right.
Excuse me. I tip extremely well. And
you just
I
said
always
you didn't tip the to-go people.
You're not going to come at me for tipping the guy that I tip based on the service I receive. That's your whole thing. You tip based on service you receive.
First of all, I always tip
20%.
Before?
Always.
You just said you didn't tip the Hooters girl.
I tip the Hooters girl, but I'm not going to tip her the same as I would an actual waitress or waiter.
You're acting like you're going to tip the people at Sonic more than the Hooters girl.
I think they're working harder.
If they're wearing the rollerblades, maybe. If they know any tricks on the rollerblades.
If they bring me an order to my car and that's all I do and then they walk back in, I'll give them a couple bucks.
Not during a crisis.
That's it.
Not during a crisis. Times are different now.
Times are tough for all of us.
I gave the Chick-fil-A driver that did delivery $5 before he even left.
Times are hard for all of us.
It took like 45 minutes to get here. If I would have waited and did it on service, he would have gotten less. But I would have had threw a five their way. It's only a mile and a half away. Still took 45 minutes somehow. But it's a crisis, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We'll power rank our best WrestleMania moments coming up after the break.
Saturdays are for seltzers. The power lies on them.
Rankings.
Go, go, power.
Rankings.
Go, go, power.
Rankings.
Mighty Morphin power.
Rankings.
All right, it's WrestleMania weekend. Not a lot going on in sports, so we're going to power rank our favorite WrestleMania moments. Cody, you got your list ready?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay.
Now, I just want to say before I do my list that I was a big Shawn Michaels fan, so there's going to be a lot of Shawn Michaels. And again, these are mainly just moments that I remember watching.
Okay.
So
when I think of you and I picture you, if I think of who would your favorite wrestler be, it would be Shawn Michaels. Just a sexy boy. Sexy boy oi.
Number five match, I'm going with Mick Foley versus Edge.
Oh.
The hardcore match at WrestleMania 22. Are you familiar with that one?
Yeah.
Edge, they hated each other. They had a real nasty rivalry going on. Edge got the barbed wire baseball bat after Foley and was just grinding it across his forehead. There ended up being a table set on fire. I mean, this was gruesome. This had some ECW feel to it. And obviously with Mick Foley involved, that's bound to happen. One of the toughest guys ever. Mick Foley, I mean, he said even – he had a quote coming out of the match. He said, even as the referee counted three and I was surrounded by this strange potpourri of charred hair, flesh, and blood, I was very cognizant of the fact that this was my WrestleMania moment. I didn't need the word legend in my nickname to be considered a legend, although it never hurts. So Mick Foley considers that his WrestleMania moment.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I guess never main event, or was that the main event?
No, it wasn't the main event.
Right, so never main event, but that was this big moment with Edge in a championship match. And one of the coolest spots of WrestleMania, Edge spearing him through a burning table.
Yeah.
Let Mick Foley, like, bring his career kind of full circle in terms of him being someone who made his living through hardcore matches, you know, touring Japan with Terry Funk.
Right.
To do that, you know, at the showcase of Immortals, to go through a burning table. I don't think WWE would do that anymore with the responsibility they feel like they need to have for the kids.
Number four, I go with Stone Cold versus The Rock at WrestleMania 19. Now, again, I know it wasn't as good as the WrestleMania 17 match, but I didn't watch the WrestleMania 17 match live. 19 was the first time I saw them in a WrestleMania match, so it just it had a bigger impact on me because it was the first, you know, I didn't watch the first one, so or I guess the first two. There was it 16, 17? Did they wrestle back-to-back WrestleManias and then at 19, Rock Austin? Because they had three, right?
I'm pretty sure the Rock Austin was 21 was the last one, and I think 20 was the one where Vince, where he came back from his neck injury. I think. Right? Didn't he come back and beat The Rock?
Are you saying WrestleMania 20?
No, I'm going by years is what I'm going with. I go by like the year it happened in.
Oh, I don't know.
Like WrestleMania in 2001 is when Stone Cold came back from his neck injury.
That was WrestleMania 19.
And beat The Rock. Okay.
Well,
yeah,
no.
That was 17.
That was 17. Yeah. So
that was whenever Austin revealed he was working with McMahon.
Okay.
It helped him screw The Rock over and get his belt back.
WrestleMania 19 was Austin's final match.
That's the one The Rock beat him and retired him. Yeah.
Yeah, and then The Rock came out the next night on Raw. He said, The Rock has done it all. And then they started a little storyline with Goldberg. And,
okay.
You know. But anyway, that was when The Rock had to use three rock bottoms to beat Austin. And I always remember that one, WrestleMania 19. So, again, maybe not as good as the others, not as iconic of a match, but it's the one I remember. So I put that one at number four on my list, just personally. Number three, I had The Rock and Hogan at WrestleMania 18.
Okay.
The electricity of that in that room.
Man, this is hard.
Just I think we've all seen the clip go around of when they were just – you know, you had the ultimate.
I just had to do something really tough for me to do.
You did?
Yeah. I had to take away what I thought was going to be my favorite moment, but when I actually started thinking about the other ones, I had to take it off. Go ahead.
Okay, and then number two, I had the Shawn Michaels Undertaker career versus streak match when, obviously, the Undertaker kept his streak going, ended Shawn Michaels' career. I believe he had to tombstone him multiple times.
Yeah.
Shawn just wouldn't die. He was crawling up, grabbing at Undertaker's belt, basically begging for – or not begging, but saying, give me some more.
You're talking about
– I want some more.
Taker, Michaels too, right?
The streak versus career.
Yeah, Shawn's
the other match is regarded as a better match,
I think. One before – they're both regarded as classics.
Yeah. They were back-to-back years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he came back the next year and they ran it back, yeah, streak versus career.
So, obviously, loving Shawn.
That was pretty good long-term storytelling too.
Yeah. And then number one for me, I go back to the Iron Man match. Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, the 60-minute Iron Man match. I wasn't watching that one live.
I was. But that was the first. That's the first wrestling moment I really remember.
Yeah, when Sean comes down on the zip line.
That's what I had to take off. I loved that as a kid when Shawn Michaels came ziplining down.
Yeah.
But I had to take it off. But my brother was a big Bret Hart fan, and I was a big Shawn Michaels fan, and I remember him crying in the ring.
Yeah.
As Jim Ross says, the boyhood dream has been realized.
Yeah.
He's the champion.
I didn't see it live, but I watched the whole match.
My brother, like I said, a little bit older, 6 years older. He went over to his friend's house to watch. I got to tag along, so that's the only reason I got to watch. But that's the first pay-per-view I got to watch live, and I remember that one very fondly. But I took it off my moments.
You took that off?
Yeah.
Really?
I did.
Oh, man. You must have five good ones.
The match was an hour long, bro.
And then it went into
overtime. It was just a long match.
Yeah. I liked it, though.
But I enjoyed that storyline a lot because of the training videos that accompanied it. Like, they took Shawn Michaels off TV, and he was basically, like, thought to be going to the dungeon, going to a dojo to find himself and train for this match to get ready.
Yeah. Well, with it being an hour long.
He hadn't seen him on TV for a while, and then he came down, and his manager, the guy that, like, his trainer that was training him, just came down to the ring for him, and you're like, did Michaels not show up? And as a kid, I'm like, oh, my God, where's he at? And then he gets up on the ropes and points to the sky.
And then
Michaels comes ziplining down, looking sharp, and it's all white.
The white tights.
Looking like the white Power Ranger, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
Looking like the white Power Ranger.
That's my number one.
You know what? I'm putting that. No, I'm not.
Oh, man.
I loved it as a kid. Number five for me, it's one of the best gifs that we've been given from wrestling. And the storytelling, and this was also great in the moments, just really pure and can hit you. Cam's over there rolling his eyes. We know it's fake, Cam. We get it. We know it's fake. But it can still hit you in the feels if you just buy into the storytelling.
Still real to me, damn it.
Okay? Shawn Michaels, number five, retiring Ric Flair. I'm sorry. I love you. Sweet Chin Music. Knocked him down, pinned him, because it was like the next time Ric Flair lost, he had to retire, Cam. They were trying to make this old man retire.
This is a guy that's been around for years, 30 years.
You know
years.
Rick. I know
you
Rick.
Know Ric Flair. Yeah. Ric Flair transcends wrestling.
Nature boy, yeah.
But, like, he's old. He's, like, kept trying to wrestle. Like, you got to, you know, like, it's time to hang him up. So, like, they had a stipulation. The next time he lost, he had to retire. But then he just kept winning all these matches until he got to WrestleMania against Michaels. And Michaels had been telling him, it's time for you to go. I'm going to have to put you down like Old Yeller, basically. So they have a 20-minute match as Ric Flair's old, but they're still going 20 minutes because Ric Flair is one of the best workers of all time. And at the end, like, he's just, after 20 minutes, Cam, he's just completely spent. He can barely move. And he's down on his knees, bleeding, and just looking up like, come on. And then Michael's like, I'm sorry. I love you. Sweet Chin Music. 1, 2, 3, right in the middle of the ring. Ric Flair is retired. As his, you know, Shawn Michaels has said that was his boyhood idol. And he got to retire him. That's number five.
But I'm putting that. I should probably put that on my list,
especially if you're a Shawn Michaels guy. But
I should
probably
work that in.
Number four for me, I got Eddie Guerrero and Chris Benoit. This is a thing that doesn't really get played a lot back in time because, you know, Chris Benoit killed his whole family.
He did, yes.
But Eddie Guerrero and Chris Benoit were kind of a duo that was in the, you know, WCW before they got to WWF, and they were just thought of as kind of afterthoughts. But they were just really good wrestlers that didn't necessarily have the size to be main eventers, but they were just so good that they just rose to the top because people demanded it. And at the end of WrestleMania 20 in Madison Square Garden, they both ended the night as champions. Mm-hmm. And Chris Benoit wins the title from a
Triple H
threat.
And Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, triple threat against Triple H and Shawn Michaels. And, you know, Benoit, you never would have thought that guy would go over against those two.
He made Triple H tap in the crippler crossface.
Exactly. And then Eddie Guerrero, you know, guys that had been going on the road together forever that were always told they weren't good enough, he runs down to help celebrate. His confetti's falling, and they're hugging each other and crying. And then Chris Benoit killed his whole family, so we don't really celebrate that one anymore. But that was a really cool moment.
Did Eddie Guerrero beat Kurt Angle at WrestleMania?
I believe so.
Yeah, that was WrestleMania.
By lying, cheating, and stealing.
Yeah. Yeah, which that was the whole gimmick with Eddie Guerrero.
And I kind of – it's a similar storyline, but number three, this is what kind of got me back into wrestling. So this holds a place in my heart. But what they did at WrestleMania 30 with Daniel Bryan – where he was kind of like Eddie Guerrero and Chris Benoit. They had to run it back a little bit. He was told he was too small, not good enough, but the fans just pushed him to the top, and he had to beat Triple H early in the night to get in a triple threat match. He did that, and then he makes Batista tap in the middle of the ring as the little guy ends the show with the Yes Movement. That was pretty cool and one of my favorite moments of my new fandom.
Mm-hmm.
And then number two and number one goes to the same guy. Stone Cold, number two, whenever he finally won the championship with the help of Mike Tyson. I remember as a kid, the swerve there because you thought Tyson was going to be on the side of DX, but no, he helped. He helped Stone Cold. And Stone Cold won his first title, and they walk off together, Mike Tyson raising his arm. And as a kid who really thought wrestling was real back in, you know, this was, what, WrestleMania 14, so that had been like 97?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, wow, Mike Tyson, everyone thinks he's the baddest man on the planet, but he's teamed up with Stone Cold, the real baddest man on the planet.
And he beat Michaels?
Yeah, he beat Michaels, to win his first championship. Number one for me, though, this storytelling gives it the number one spot for me. I go with Michaels as well, or I go with Stone Cold again. Him versus Bret Hart at WrestleMania 13, the double turn. Going into the match, Cam, Bret Hart was the good guy. Stone Cold was this bad guy, but they knew he had superstar potential. And, you know, throughout the match, you could tell Bret Hart's just getting a little bit more fed up with not being able to beat Stone Cold, so he starts cheating. He hits him in the head with a bell. He's trying to choke him with a cord. It's a submission match. And, right, his finisher, Cam, was the sharpshooter, which is a submission move.
Great submission
move. And Stone Cold didn't really have one, so you're like, how's he going to make him tap? Or how's he going to beat Bret Hart? And plus, Stone Cold is supposed to be this big badass. Like, is he really going to tap out? So who's going to win? Well, they played it perfectly. Bret Hart cheats, keeps cheating, eventually locks in the sharpshooter on Stone Cold in the middle of the ring. Stone Cold, being the badass he was, Cam, wouldn't tap. So he just passes out in a pool of his own blood. He's got blood running down his face. He can't get to the ropes. He can't go anywhere. So he just stays there until the pain just knocks him all the way out, and he just face down in a pool of his own blood. Then the next day, a superstar had been born. Next thing, he was the all-time babyface. Like, everyone was on his side. That's my favorite WrestleMania moment. The picture is just so iconic for me of Stone Cold.
The pouring blood.
Just the blood pouring all over his face and the aftermath of him just face down in the ring. That's my favorite WrestleMania moment. I know some people are probably screaming about Hulk Hogan slamming Andre the Giant, but I wasn't born. And a body slam doesn't seem that impressive, to be honest. I get at the time it probably was with Andre the Giant, but not that impressive to me.
It's WrestleMania 3, I mean.
Right. All due respect to that.
Ago. Long time ago.
Some Ultimate Warrior stuff, too, I'm sure, but
yeah.
That's my list.
Yeah, like that old Intercontinental Championship match. Ooh. That's always the Ricky the Steamboat.
Yeah,
and
that was just a great match.
Warrior,
there's no
right?
real moment there.
Yeah,
Steamboat and Savage is what that.
Steamboat
yeah,
and Savage.
Steamboat
yeah.
and Savage. Warrior couldn't work. He just his matches were very short.
Yeah,
those are my favorite moments. We'll do last call on the other side.